Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. This evening, I'd like to take a few moments to meditate on the peace that Jesus Christ wants to give each one of us. But I'd like to do so through the lens of an incredibly ancient prayer. A prayer that we actually just prayed. A prayer that we pray pretty much every Sunday. And that prayer is the Gloria. Just a few minutes ago, we all sang together, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people of goodwill." This holy and ancient prayer, first proclaimed by those angels on the night that Jesus was born in the manger, gives us a crucial insight into the kind of peace that Jesus wants to give us. And it all hinges upon that very first word, glory. But what is glory? What do we know about God's glory? We hear about it all the time in church. We hear about it in the Bible. We hear it proclaimed to us from the Sambo. But what does it mean? In the Old Testament, the presence of God's glory is very often related to the place where God meets humanity, where God dwells among his people, where people worship the Lord. So you might remember stories from the people in the desert on Mount Sinai when the glory of God comes down upon the mountain, or when the glory of the Lord comes down and fills the tabernacle as the Israelites are wandering in the desert. And of course, where God's glory fills the Jerusalem temple, that place of sacrifice, that place of encounter for the people of God. Whenever people encounter God's glory, they're filled with awe. They're filled with this overwhelming sense of God's beauty and majesty. God's glory leads to a profound heart-to-heart intimacy with our Heavenly Father. From this perspective, when we as a church sing glory to God in the highest, we are praising God for that dizzying, majestic encounter that we are about to have with him in the scriptures that we hear proclaimed and in the Eucharist that we share in from that altar right over there. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people of goodwill. In that one amazing phrase, the angels connect glory and peace. Why is that? Because, my brothers and sisters, real, lasting, eternal peace is only possible if we give all the glory to God, if we keep none of it for ourselves. And God created us for this very reason. God created us to love him, to give him glory. It's what human beings were designed to do in the very beginning, to put him first in every single aspect of our lives, to totally abandon ourselves to the loving embrace of our Heavenly Father. When we choose to worship something less than God, when we try to give glory to something less than the living God, then I'm sorry, but it's no wonder that we're not filled with peace. Try giving glory to money. It all gets spent. Try giving glory to youth and health. Eventually, we all die. Try giving glory to personal popularity. Someone else is always more popular than you are. Try giving glory to pleasure. It all gets boring and old very quickly. But when we give glory to God, when we give glory to God in the highest, a truly wonderful thing begins to happen. He gives us peace. My peace I give to you, Jesus says. So how is it that we give glory to God then? How do we do this? Well, newsflash, the fact of the matter is, if it's up to us, if it's up to our own efforts, if it's just however we decide to do it, then we can't do it. There's no such thing as a do-it-yourself worship. We can only worship God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the one mediator between God and humanity. And apart from him and apart from his grace, we can do nothing. So if we want to give God perfect glory, if we want to give him all of the worship that is due to him, then it has to be through his son, Jesus. And that's the whole word, that's the whole reason that the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us in the first place, to open up the way for us to give glory to God in the highest, so that he can fill us with peace. But where does Jesus give God perfect glory? Where does Jesus worship the Father most perfectly? I'll give you a hint. It's hanging right above Father John David's head. On the cross, nailed to that tree, Jesus Christ offers up the perfect sacrifice of praise to God. He offers himself entirely to the Father. And here's the really awesome part. Here's like the good news. He gathers us up with him and offers us to the Father as well. He takes the whole of sinful humanity, people who would really rather keep all the glory to themselves, that's us, and he gives us to the Father on the cross. All true worship, then, is a participation in that worship. And that's what we believe happens at Mass. That's what Catholics believe happens at each and every single holy sacrifice of the Mass. Because when we gather as a church for the Eucharist to offer the body and blood of Jesus, it's Jesus who stands at the altar. He's the one who is giving God glory in the highest. That's what's going on at the end of the Eucharistic prayer. When the priest and the deacon hold up the paten and the chalice, and the priest prays those beautiful words, through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. And the church responds, amen. That's true. That's what's happening. We're giving all the glory to God. We're lifting up that one holy and living sacrifice of Jesus' own body and blood so as to give him the only glory that is due to him, all of it. So that's the Mass in a nutshell, I guess. We come together, we glorify God in the highest, we receive his peace into our bodies in the breaking of the bread. And then as the liturgy comes to a close, we hear the deacon proclaim to us all, go in peace. In other words, go in Christ. Go live from that precious peace that he won for us. The peace that the world can't give. Serve others from that peace. Sacrifice from that peace. Die for that peace. I'll admit that it's a strange truth that something so painful and ugly as the cross can be the source of eternal peace. And yet, that's our faith. Christianity does not promise us an easy peace. It does not promise us a bland and boring absence of troubles. No, the peace that Jesus offers us is a peace that is surrounded by thorns. It is a peace that is pierced with a soldier's lance. It is a peace that is oftentimes bleeding. And yet, it lives. It is a risen and glorified peace. And I don't know about you, but I find so much comfort in that. I find comfort in the fact that I can come to Mass and take all of my anxieties and all of my worries and all the fears and all of the things like, oh man, I'm such a failure. And I can bring it to the altar and I can let the Lord Jesus give that to the Father for me, because I can't do that on myself. The victory is won, guys. God is in control. What peace. That's peace that the world can't give. As you come forward to receive the Eucharist tonight, then, I invite you to consider that incredible truth, that the Eucharist itself is our peace. It's a peace that the world can't give. Receive God's peace from this altar. Let it fill you with a deep and abiding sense of security that only God the Almighty can give you. In the world, you will have troubles. But take courage. Jesus has overcome the world. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Those are the words we heard Jesus say in our gospel. It is the Lord. He has made peace by the blood of his cross. And now in the Eucharist, we get to receive that precious blood. Let that sink in. That's crazy. So let the church sing with all her heart, soul, body, and mind. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to people of goodwill.